It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. 100 years ago, traffic on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan was heavy. Much of that was coming from our very own meat and paper plants. And with the heavy lake traffic came lighthouses, those beacons of light warning sailors where the shore was or that rough waters were ahead. We're talking about lighthouses this morning and would love to hear your memories or current relationship to the structures, to their history and their meaning in our culture. What are your favorites? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Barb and Ken Wardius are lighthouse aficionados and photographers. They're the authors of Wisconsin Lighthouses, a photographic and historical guide. They've also written books on the Cana Island Lighthouse, the Wind Point Lighthouse, and the North Point Milwaukee Lighthouse. Barb and Ken, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
So, New England, Barb, is known for its lighthouses, but many people don't realize how many Wisconsin has. How many do we have?
We actually have 48 in the state of Wisconsin. We're second only to the state of Michigan.
Oh, okay. So Michigan does have more because they have like four Great Lakes.
They have more shoreline than we have, but we hold up our end of the bargain.
and how old is the oldest lighthouse?
The oldest lighthouse would date back to 1836. That would be the Pottawatomie Light. That original structure no longer stands. But can you imagine that long ago that they needed beacons to guide people through the Rock Island Passage?
And the Rock Island Passage is where? Which lake?
It's off of Rock Island. It's in Lake Michigan. If you go to Door County, you go to Washington Island, and your next stop is over to Rock Island. So a very desolate post at the time.
Lighthouses, they were a necessity for industry. Can you give us a sense, Ken, about how many ships were passing through there in the 1800s?
Oh, gosh, Carrie, literally thousands of them. You know, that was the mode of transportation back in that era prior to the time that the railroad system was built and expanded, and certainly the roads that we enjoy today. The main vehicle, if you will, for moving goods and people were boats, so literally thousands of, at that time, primarily wooden schooners, first powered by wind, later by engines, but that was the mode of transportation back in the early 1800s.
So I'm curious, my producer was talking to me and said that there are a lot of fights between lighthouse aficionados about what constitutes a lighthouse. Barb, why are people disagreeing on this?
Okay, we never get physical. Let's make that clear from the start. However, just, you look up data on lighthouses, and sometimes it'll say, well, it was built, for example, in 1836, but perhaps it wasn't lit until 1837. So people will say, well, it dates to 1837. The same thing we found when we did our research was on the height of the lighthouse. It may be, it's 112 feet tall, and then some will say, well, no, that's not the right number. It's what's called the focal point where the light would shine out over the lake. That's a different number. And eventually we just decided to use the Coast Guard list, figuring everything at least would be standardized from there in. But it does make for interesting discussion sometimes.
That's really funny, because I've seen some short lighthouses, too.
Oh, yeah, there are some short ones in Wisconsin. If you've been to Bailey's Harbor, there's a set of range lights, and the front range light is the shortest light in the state at, oh, my gosh, Ken, how tall is it? He's pointing
Ken?
Fingers at me. 31
21.
Feet, I believe. It's 21.
21.
I can't see his
21
name.
Feet.
The door shut, really. Yeah, it's very short, but it's a very important light. And, of course, the tallest light stands on Wally Point, just north of the city of Two Rivers. That's at 112 feet tall. So we have all the ranges in between in Wisconsin.
So is there a place where most of Wisconsin's lighthouses are concentrated? I'm assuming it's on Lake Michigan because it kind of comes down all, you know, throughout the state or throughout the eastern part of the state?
Carrie, that's the greatest concentration of lights in Wisconsin. About two-thirds of the 48 lighthouses are on Lake Michigan. We also include the Bay of Green Bay as the western edge of Lake Michigan, if you will. But also, let's not forget about Lake Superior. The Duluth, Superior, Ashland area and the Apostle Islands has 10 lighthouses that are counted in Wisconsin's numbers. In addition to that, and Barb and I didn't know this at the time we were doing our research 20-plus years ago. There's 4 inland lighthouses on Lake Winnebago.
Oh, cool. And what were they for?
Generally, there was early commerce on Lake Winnebago with the Fox and Wolf River system empty into that. Lumber was moved. Other products were moved. A couple of them nowadays are more for ornamental purposes, but there is a lighthouse in Fond du Lac. There's a couple near Oshkosh. One of them is a private lighthouse, but primarily, again, just like Lake Superior's and Lake Michigan, there was commerce on Lake Winnebago.
We are talking to Barb and Ken Wardius. They are lighthouse aficionados and photographers, and they've written a few books on lighthouses in Wisconsin. What are your lighthouse memories and stories? What's the favorite one that you like to visit? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. So I want to know, Barb, how did you get interested in lighthouses to begin with?
It goes back so long ago. One of our first lighthouse memories, our favorite, I think, is going to Cana Island, which is in the Door County area. And back 35, 40 years ago, there's a causeway, and at that time the causeway was underwater, and it meant if you were going to see the lighthouse, you were going to get wet. Mm. Our daughter was 3 years old at the time, and we had our daughter and tons of camera gear, and you're walking over slippery rocks, and Ken's like, well, what would you like to carry? And I thought, well, I'll carry our daughter, because if I slip and fall, we're going to get wet and a little bit bruised. But if I jump the camera gear, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. And we did that so often. We always got wet. We always were prepared with old shoes for walking over rocks. But we have photos of it, and it's just a great memory. And from there, our interest just really grew quickly. Who knew we'd be so interested in it? But it's been a great journey.
Ken, what is it that you loved about lighthouses when you first started exploring them?
Well, Barb and I both carry. We were interested in history. We, as she mentioned, we always kind of carried a camera. We did a lot of traveling in Wisconsin and had a camera basically to, you know, family photo type things to take a picture, be it Cana Island or Eagle Bluff in Door County. And, you know, our hometown is Milwaukee. There's a grand lighthouse in Lake Park here. We always had the camera gear. As we explored, you know, the photography of it, it begged the question, what about the people that lived here? What about the people that spent decades tending this place? We live in Milwaukee. We've been fortunate to grow up by Lake Michigan. So the nautical aspect of that kind of lit a fire, if you will, in us, and we delved into public libraries, historical societies, which are great resources for lighthouse history. So the two kind of came together, and we, over the course of time, we took some nice snapshots of lighthouses, and just kind of out of the blue, one of our friends said, "Did you ever think about writing a book?" we weren't authors, and while we had some nice pictures, you know, one thing led to another. Fortunately, there was no book on in the entire state of Wisconsin. So we delved into that idea and project. Eventually, a kind publisher in Madison will always be fond of Jerry Minnick from Prairie Oak Press at the time. He thought it was a good idea, and little did we know what we were really getting into down the road here. It's been a fun journey.
That's pretty cool. You mentioned the history of the people. I have to say, when I have visited lighthouses, the stories on plaques surrounding the lighthouse have been really sad. You know, so-and-so lived in this house and was lost at sea when he went out to rescue somebody, or his son was lost delivering the mail or walking out to do something. I mean, was it as hard a life as those kinds of things and as fiction makes us think it was?
There are many stories, sad tales of things that happened. You have to imagine back at that time, of course, the only way to get to many of these lighthouses was by boat. So they're very isolated. They had to be very self-sufficient, but people would go out perhaps to go ice fishing and be lost, or take the launch into town to get the mail or supplies and be lost. So it was, we think of it now since, oh, it'd be so romantic to go and light the light every night and watch the beacon and this and that. They were working constantly. If they weren't in some type of danger for having to try to rescue somebody, there was an oil painting, cleaning, having to keep the Fresnel lens spotless, should the lighthouse inspectors show up, and just the daily chores, the cooking, the cleaning. So it was a very sought-after position. They lived in beautiful homes that were provided by the government, as well as many staple foods. But you had to be really somebody that could take care of yourself all the time. They would have a small farm. They might have pigs, cows, a horse even, just to get them through. These were tough folks.
It's the morning show, and we are talking about lighthouses this morning. We are taking your calls. What are your favorite lighthouses in the state? Do you have a great lighthouse story? Do you have a great piece of fiction that is one of your favorites that involves a lighthouse? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Wisconsin's lighthouses are an integral part of our state's history, and there are many people trying to keep them standing, even restoring them. Barb and Ken Wardius are lighthouse aficionados and photographers. They have written numerous books on lighthouses in the state, and they are talking to us this morning. Have you visited a bunch of lighthouses in the state? Maybe Door County, maybe north of Milwaukee, maybe up in Lake Superior around Madeline Islands or something like that. Which ones are your favorites? Tell us what your lighthouse memories are. Were you that three-year-old that your mom was carrying across as you were going to the lighthouse? Maybe not the Wardius's three-year-old, but somebody else. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. So, Barb, we talked about the oldest lighthouse. What was the lighthouse that was last lit in the Wisconsin area?
So the newest light in Wisconsin is actually a privately owned light. It's part of someone's home in the city, the town of Grafton. It's called Kevich, and it was built in 1981 on a bluff overlooking Lake Michigan. And at that time, there was supposed to be a lighthouse built back in the 1800s. It was a bustling lumber town called Port Julio, where they actually had a chute built down this bluff to send all the logs down to the ships that would stop for fuel. Mm. The lighthouse was never built, and years later, someone came from Yugoslavia and decided this was a good place to build a lighthouse. So they built it as part of the home. It's a beautiful house. It's a private aid to navigation, classified as such by the Coast Guard, and the family that lives there lights the light each night. It's a beautiful place. You can't go in and tour because it's private.
Right.
You can see it from the road.
So lighthouses are still in use.
Absolutely. There are a lot that are maybe for ornamental use, and even though people have GPS and every other mode of determining where they are, we've talked to a lot of people that are perhaps recreational boaters, and on a foggy night or you're coming in late from fishing, way too late, and you probably know where you are, but to me and talking to these boaters, it's comforting to them to say, oh, I know exactly where I am. I'm pulling into Sturgeon Bay, or I'm going to be able to dock in Bailey's Harbor tonight.
That's totally fascinating. Ken, sure. We talked a little bit about the history of the people. I want to go into a little bit more of that. Where did they live? We think of lighthouses, and we think of long, tall, silo kind of things, but there was a structure beneath it where they lived, yes?
Most lighthouses that were land-based, Carrie, would have a keeper's quarters, the house either attached to the tower, so there was ease for the keepers and assistant keepers to go up and down the tower without going outside at night. Sometimes in various ports, say the Port of Milwaukee, most of the Lake Michigan cities in Wisconsin would have had a pier light. Many times those just had the structure out on the pier, and many times the house, the keeper's quarters, would have been on land. It depended pretty much on location. For the most part, the standard typical lighthouse complex, if you will, would have had the tower, the keeper's quarters, either right at the tower or slightly away from it, and sometimes a little bit further on the land. But for the most part, that. There's other structures that make up a typical lighthouse complex, too. Usually there was a fuel building. There was an outhouse. They called it the privy. And sometimes associated other garage or other places for primarily tools and sometimes, as Bart mentioned, animals. But the structures varied. Most complexes had some of those features. Only about a third of Wisconsin lights also had a fog horn, a fog signal associated with the complex.
So interesting to me that some lighthouse keepers had to actually row from their houses to their lighthouses if their lighthouses weren't on land.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, Bart mentioned it before. Sometimes we think of the lighthouse era of, say, the mid 1800s to the early 1900s as this just idyllic, romantic time. If you think about some of the things that they had to do, be it rowing to a light that was not connected to the mainland, all the chores and all the work that they did. And think about back then, too, a lot of the modern conveniences and comforts we take for granted did not exist. Sometimes there was not electricity. Mm. Generally, the plumbing was outdoors. Chances are you didn't have hot running water. So the things we really associate with today's modern technology and comforts. It was a time of very hard work and very dedicated people.
Okay, so I got to follow up on that. This is a lighthouse, and you just said there was not electricity, and yet people listening are going to find that to be a clash. How did they get the light? Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a great point. Actually, if we go back through the technology of the actual light or the beacon at a given lighthouse, that changed and evolved and developed over the years. Prior to the time of electricity, the light would have been lit with usually some sort of wick apparatus. Generally, the earliest fuels were an oil of some sort. Started out as whale oil in the 1700s. Later on, that would have changed to other oils, especially kerosene was a very common liquid fuel lit. So you had some apparatus that had, you had to light the liquid fuel. Another story that there was lard oil. Lard was a great fuel, a better fuel than whale oil, but on very cold nights, cold weather, it congealed. It was a mess that had to be melted and heated. So, again, no electricity. You had some sort of apparatus to start a spark and a fire, and the lamp would have been lit. And eventually that evolved into more modern gas or acetylene fuels, and then later on, eventually, some of the lights were electrified. There's a few lighthouses today that, while they are modern beacons and we don't need them for the technology we have in our pockets nowadays, electricity still did not come to every single light.
This is totally fascinating. When they were lighting them with various oils and what have you, how many lighthouses burned down?
Oh, fires were very common because all of these liquids, whether solid at the time or had to be liquefied, were very, very flammable. And that led to the U.S. Lighthouse Service determining that they should no longer be storing fuels in the house proper or in the basement. So many of light stations that people may visit contain a small building called the fuel house, the oil house, where they would actually keep the larger gallon or 5-gallon containers of oil, and they would just simply fill smaller containers and take those into the building and up to the light. And that did help cut down on fires, as well as the construction of some of the buildings. Many of the early towers or homes were constructed of wood. Later on, they switched over to stone or metal. So that also helped with fire prevention.
That makes perfect sense. We are talking about Wisconsin's lighthouses, and we are asking you what your favorites are. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We've got Salim from De Pere. Welcome to the program, Salim.
Hi, good morning. I'm very excited to hear about the lighthouse history in Wisconsin, and thank you for this opportunity to let me share my excitement, and very happy to hear Bob and Ken talking about it.
Okay, great. Do you have a favorite lighthouse?
It's Rock Island Lighthouse.
Okay.
I'm one of the board members for 40. It's Friends of Rock Island, and we do offer opportunities for volunteers to be docents, meaning that they can give tours to people and share the history and the and keep that within, keep it fun and exciting to be, come back to Rock Island. That's how we maintain not only the lighthouse, but the actual, all the whole island called the Rock Island Island.
So this lighthouse is maintaining an economy even now when it's not actually in use, when it's when it's just being preserved.
Correct.
That's really great. Thank you very much for calling us, Salim. Lighthouses have being restored, Barb. Are they anchors for a new tourist economy in Wisconsin?
Oh, they definitely are. So many historical societies and friends groups have taken on the care and feeding of the lighthouses, and the ideal goal is to open them up to the public, not only just to spur on interest and to keep them going for the next generation, but many cities have adopted their lighthouse as their city symbol. You'll see it on the signage or perhaps on their websites, that type of thing. And the idea is obviously to keep the history going, as the caller said, to keep it interesting for the next generations and to generate some income and to preserve the beacons as historical markers.
So when you grow up around a lighthouse or when you see a lighthouse, my first instinct is to look out towards the sea and kind of see in my mind's eye all of these ships coming. There were strategic reasons why lighthouses were built in certain places. Can you share with us what some of those strategies were?
Generally, Carrie, actually the main reason most lighthouses were built early on was to identify various cities or ports. You know, we talked earlier about the main mode of transportation for, you know, basic goods was by water, people as well. Yes, there were lighthouses built specific to some hazards, you know, be it rocky shoals, shallow areas, dangers that lurked in the water that the mariner could not see. But most of them, not just in Wisconsin, but the Great Lakes and throughout the world, were built to identify, say, Milwaukee, from Sheboygan, from Port Washington, in Door County, the various ports. It was to identify, here we are, here's Bailey's Harbor, here's the lights that you're going to see on your nautical chart if you're the captain out on the lake. And it was to identify and to get the ships and their cargoes and the people safely to that port. It was primarily to identify the various cities and villages.
Barb, preserving lighthouses is a big deal. We have 48 lighthouses here in Wisconsin. How many of them are well preserved at this point?
Oh, at this point, I'd say maybe a quarter to a third. Mm. As you can imagine, anybody that's a homeowner or has any maintenance to be done, even on their car, it's very expensive. So when you purchase your lighthouse from the government, of course, it's not terribly expensive. But as you can imagine, because it is regulated by the government, even once you own it, there are still certain stipulations that they would like you to meet as to keep it historically correct and obviously to restore it to its original beauty and ultimately open it to the public so they can share your love for lighthouses. So it's a very expensive proposition, but it's amazing. Even as the caller said, the lighthouse on Rock Island, if you would have seen that lighthouse even 15 years ago, the inside was gutted. It was a terrible mess. And we talked to some of the members of that group, and oh, yes, they had all these grand plans to restore it, to put a replica Fresnel lens in the tower. And they've done all of that. So never say never, and people know how to write for grants. There's always generous donors. So while it is an expensive business, it can be done.
It can be done. And talk to me, you mentioned the Fresnel lens a couple of times. I remember this from my early theater days. What is so special about a Fresnel lens?
The Fresnel lens was named after its inventor, Augustin Jean Fresnel. He was a Frenchman. The city of Paris back in the 1700s was the beehive, if you will, of the manufacture of these lenses. Mr. Fresnel actually passed away before his invention actually came to be the standard, if you will, of lighthouse lenses throughout the world, beginning in the late 1700s. It's a series of hand polished glass prisms, depending on the size of the lens, dozens and dozens of prisms. It's in a brass maze that all of these lens pieces are put into. It looks like a glass and brass beehive. And what you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a physicist like Mr. Fresnel was to understand the principle behind the light was, or the lens, excuse me, was there was a source of light in the middle. It could have been a liquid-fueled lamp later on. It would be a light bulb in some cases. But it took all of the different beams of light from your light source. It magnified them, and it sent them out in one direction. So what it did was it concentrated and gathered all of the light in the middle of the lens, and be it on Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, the Great Lakes, throughout the world, it intensified the beams. And back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, mariners were just clamoring for brighter lights. And the Fresnel lens was the invention that did that. The lights were much more powerful. The beams were much stronger, and they could be seen many, many more miles out on the various waterways of the world.
And
considered the father of the invention of the Fresnel lens.
And they could be seen through fog, as most importantly.
Well, depending on how thick the fog was, perhaps not. That was the other reason that some lighthouses also had a supplement, if you will, for safety in very dense, foggy conditions, a foghorn. If the light was shrouded by the fog signal would have identified the various cities for the mariner.
We are talking with Barb and Ken Wardius about lighthouses around Wisconsin. They have traveled to many. I assume that you have seen all 48, correct?
Oh, we've been to all 48, some of them more than one.
Okay, fine. They have written three books about lighthouses in Wisconsin. We're also taking your calls to figure out what you like about lighthouses. Where do you want to go? What do you have fond memories of? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. We are, Barb, I want to get into, we're going to start before we go to break here. I want to get into when and where we should visit these lighthouses. I mean, obviously, the middle of winter, it may not be the best time, although it may be beautiful if you can deal with the cold.
Yeah, the middle of winter is not the best because in Wisconsin, we do have what we like to call our lighthouse season, which usually goes from spring until fall for most of the lighthouses that are actually open for tours and for climbing. Winter is beautiful. It's a good time to take some lovely outside shots, but, of course, the cold and just getting there if the roads are closed. But if you're up for a challenge, winter is good. But this is lighthouse season, and we have a list of Ken has our list of lighthouses that are open to the public. This is a great time to go touring lighthouses. Some of them are open only on weekends. Some are open every day. Most of them charge a small fee to obviously come in and see what they've done because, again, lighthouse upkeep is very expensive.
We are talking about lighthouses this morning, taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We're going to be back to talk about some lighthouse festivals and some ones that are near you that you might be able to visit. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Lighthouses dot the shorelines of both of Wisconsin's Great Lakes, but they've been crumbling as modern navigation systems have made them obsolete. Still, there's something about lighthouses that makes our hearts melt and makes people want to restore them. Barb and Ken Wardius have devoted their lives to photographing and writing about lighthouses. They are with us today, and we're taking your calls about your favorite lighthouse. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the way to email us. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Ken, I have to say, I got a note from one of our producers on the Ideas Network. She says that her grandmother saw that maybe she saw her grandmother saw maybe one or two lighthouses in her whole lifetime, but she still adored them. She had dishes with lighthouse designs. She had little lighthouse statues. She had famed photos of lighthouses. I will personally say I grew up in a desert, and yet I have always found lighthouses fascinating. So why are these things so fascinating about people, some of us who have never really seen them until we come to the Midwest?
And, you know, that's a great question, Carrie. You know, Barb and I have been fortunate to, like I mentioned, to live by Lake Michigan. And, you know, the state is just a wonderful haven for a lot of things related to the water. I just think it's the history. It's the security aspect. Most people see a lighthouse, and we don't know too many people that go, yeah, lighthouses are just, you know, they have a fond thinking in their mind that it's the security, it's just the idea of safety, I think. And it's just a symbol of, you know, a bygone era, certainly, but just that people were watching out for people at the time when it was needed on the lakes.
So, Barb, we talked about 48 lighthouses in Wisconsin. Some of them are open to the public, and it is now lighthouse season. How many are open to the public? Give me some recommendations.
I'd say there's about a third that are open to the public, and we can start south of Milwaukee. The okay. Kenosha Southport Light is open. Wind Point is open one weekend a month. Milwaukee North Point is open, I believe, every weekend. Old Port Washington is open every weekend and perhaps a day or two during the week. And let me just say, if folks are interested in going to see these lighthouses, I would suggest they Google the name of the lighthouse or the city where the lighthouse is to get their current hours. Sometimes those change over the season. Door County has lighthouses that are open all day, every day during the season. Eagle Bluff is open. Kena Island is open. And those are both available for touring as well as for climbing. There are boat trips in the Apostle Islands. Some of them will land on the Lighthouse Islands. Others are simply drive-bys. But there's about a third that you can actually visit. And if you're a lighthouse enthusiast, your main goal is to get in that tower and say, I climbed such and such tower on this day. It's a big deal. You mark it in your book with the date and when you went to do this.
Oh, fascinating. So there's actually a thing where people actually say, I climbed this, and they sort of like check it off.
Yes, that's very true. People have either a lighthouse book that perhaps has a little thumbnail picture and a tiny bit of information, and there's a place where you can write the date, or there's even something called a lighthouse passport. And when you go to visit, if someone is there, they'll actually stamp your passport to indicate that, yes, you have been there to that lighthouse.
Ken, you've got a list. Do you have a website where we can go and get this handy-dandy list?
Well, our website is www.gowisconsinlighthouses.com. Barb also mentioned, you know, say you want to go to Door County. You go to the Door County Convention Visitors website. They have a wealth of information on lighthouses. But if we want to start in the far north, Lake Superior, the Apostle Islands, there's 10 lighthouses in that section of the state. 8 of them are on islands in the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. It's part of the National Park Service. By the way, it has more lighthouses in that national park than any other in the entire country. Hmm. Coming up later this summer, the Apostle Islands Lighthouse Celebration runs from August 28th to September 15th. As Barb mentioned, there's primarily boat tours out to the various lights. The best well-kept one in the Apostles is the Raspberry Island Light. Not only is it out the outside of the building and the complex restored, but the interior, many times the outside looks okay, but when you get in, if you can get in, the inside is not so well kept. That is Raspberry Island is just a wonderfully restored place. As we come back to the Lake Michigan side of Wisconsin, Barb mentioned Door County. The Door County Historical Society runs the Eagle Bluff Lighthouse in Peninsula State Park. They offer a wonderful tour as well as the inside of the light. You can climb part of the tower it's refurbished to the around the era of the early 1900s. Cana Island with the Door County Maritime Museum is just another wonderful place. You come toward our next neck of the woods in southeastern Wisconsin, and the lights that Barb mentioned from Port Washington, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Southport, and Wind Point in Racine are some of the best. We're very fortunate to have as many beacons in the state that are in decent shape. That's not always the case, but many of these communities have celebrations. I did not mention the Door County Lighthouse Festival. It's the second week in June. It's already been has taken place this year. But they also have now, the last couple of years, a fall festival of lighthouses on October 6th. So lighthouses are very important to tourism throughout the state, even though their main objective of years ago has been passed up by modern technology.
And I should note that Manitowoc is celebrating its 100th birthday, the lighthouse in Manitowoc?
Yes. Manitowoc, as many ports on Lake Michigan and Wisconsin, have had various lighthouses in its history. The current Manitowoc Breakwater Lighthouse was built in 1918, so this is the centennial of that light. That was a lighthouse that was sold to a private individual about a decade ago. Typically, the government would like a friends group or a historical society to take over a light. That's not always the case. So a New York businessman about 10 years ago paid his own money to buy the lighthouse. And recently, they've painted the outside. They've done some work on the inside. And there's a festival this weekend starting today through Sunday called Subfest in Manitowoc. It deals primarily with the USS Cobia submarine that's docked at the Wisconsin Maritime Museum at Manitowoc. They have all kinds of activities for families and kids. And one thing they have in relation to the Manitowoc Breakwater Lighthouse is they're going to have a celebration between 5 and 7 p.m. this Saturday, tomorrow, at the light to show. The gentleman's going to show off some of the work that has been done. And as Barb mentioned before, this is not a cheap business to get into if you want okay. a lighthouse, but he's going to show off the handiwork that's been done over the last few months.
You've been listening to Ken Wardius and Barb Wardius. They are lighthouse aficionados and authors and photographers. They wrote a photographic and historical guide to Wisconsin lighthouses. They've written books about the Cana Islands and Wind Point lighthouses. Thank you very much for being with us, Ken and Barb.
Oh, thank you for having us. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, Carrie. Take care.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's Erica Janik with a story about having an antiquated job in modern times, a lighthouse keeper.
Wisconsin has a long history of lighthouses. The duties of their keepers have changed dramatically over the decades, but the people who keep the lights on and the memories of the importance of the lights have not. Patty Murray visited a modern light keeper in Door County.
Cana Island is near Bailey's Harbor on Door County's eastern Lake Michigan side. It's waiting distance from shore. It's been there since 1869. The light was electrified in 1934, according to Dwight Zeller, who is Cana's site manager.
Do you call yourself a lighthouse keeper? Or?
No. Maybe it gets labeled that way. The job and role of keeper is the trade of maintaining a good light. In today's world, the function of keeping the light is done by the Coast Guard. Now, with respect to the Coast Guard, I do have some involvement with the light in terms of its periodic maintenance.
Just making sure that you keep the lights on?
Surprisingly enough, keeping the light on is a very easy task once you have electricity.
That means Zeller's work is much easier than that of his predecessors. There were only 7 keepers between 1869 and World War II when the Cana Light was transferred to what is now the Coast Guard.
I live in the 21st century, and I work in the 19th.
Zeller says that 19th century work was grueling.
Could we go look at it?
That's up to you. I got 97 steps in front of you.
97 steps on the original cast iron spiral staircase. Zeller says that was a trip old-fashioned keepers made every 2 hours at night, carrying buckets of hot lard to fuel the light.
Each stair that we climbed,
right here.
Each handhold on that railing,
oh my goodness.
Each spot in the floor where some people duck and some are just quite a little bit late.
That's
the same routes.
Or go here, come stand by
and each of those keepers climbed when they were on duty here.
Early keepers were paid $600 a year. Sometimes their wives worked as assistants for a whopping $400. Still, it was important work that still helps keep shippers and recreational boaters safe, even by means of modern technology. The Cana Light is maintained by the Coast Guard. The property is now a Door County park, and the house itself is maintained by the Door County Maritime Museum. Even if the navigational dangers aren't as perilous as they once were, Zeller says lighthouses are part of Wisconsin's and America's history.
Taking a moment to share something that is becoming more and more exclusive, simply because the lighthouses are disappearing, with the public who has a chance to learn just a little bit about him.
I want to marry a lighthouse keeper and keep him company. I want to marry a lighthouse keeper and live by the side of the sea.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Maureen McCollum. We feature it every week here on The Morning Show as part of your Wisconsin Weekend.